It's recording again.
Okay. All right, 3, 2, 1. Now, welcome to D-Pad News Radio. I am Andrew Rowe, and with me is Isaac Feiderspiel, and it's just the two of us this week, and we're tackling a slew of games as it is it's holiday 2010, and I can't really think of a better time to be a gamer than the holidays. I mean, it's just game nonstop, game after game, and studios save their big AAA big budget titles for these 2-3 months at the end of the year here, and it's pretty much the period of time when gamers are just spoiled.
Agreed. We're getting some pretty good deals on some pretty good games.
Getting deals and just, I mean, the quality of game. We're five years into the current generation of gaming, of games. And yeah, I don't know. Things are looking pretty good as of lately. I'm certainly not complaining. I guess let's just hop in to the first segment here. Kind of how have you been using your thumbs? So pretty much what have you been playing lately? I know I just finished Split Second.
What was that?
It's a racing game from BlackRock and Disney. And it's kind of like Burnout. It's got the arcade racing vibe going for it. Except what happens is you can control destruction on the courses. So you're racing against your opponents and you build up your meter. And once your different meters are filled up, you can start blowing up stuff on the course, trying to take out your opponents. So it's an interesting dynamic. I mean, it's like a popcorn flick, you know, with the explosions and everything, and you're racing, and so lots of eye candy to be had there. I'm not a huge racing fan per se, but arcade racing games like such as Burnout, I am a fan of. So Split Second, yeah. I've been eagerly anticipating it. I got my hands on it. I just finished it. Had to grind through a little bit of it. The AI, good old rubber band AI. When you're 6 seconds ahead of everyone, and then somehow they miraculously catch up, and they don't just catch up, but they have their meters powered up, and then suddenly a semi truck's blowing up, and it's taking me out, and then I'm thrown back into last place. So it's a couple of frustrating moments like that, but all in all, just a fun arcade experience. If you're looking for something kind of like Burnout, I don't see why you wouldn't enjoy it. Especially more of kind of like the Burnouts from the last generation of consoles, kind of Burnout 3 and Burnout Revenge. It's kind of more akin to that than the recent Burnout Paradise, but yeah, fun. It was. I definitely got my jollies out of it. It was a good time.
Nice.
Yeah.
A lot of hype around that game. Do you think it kind of lives up to it? Like.
Yeah. I'd say so. I mean, it's a little. It was a kind of short. It kind of blows it. Like it's. I guess it's a little gimmicky with the whole exploding the levels, because I mean they only have kind of a handful of levels, so you're kind of training through the same stuff over and over again, and it's just kind of memorize, you know, where you can blow up this thing, because you know, throughout the track it's like, okay, this point you can blow this up, this point you can change a route.
Basically it's just like racing and a bunch of explosions.
Pretty much lots of pretty explosions. I mean, it's a very, like, there's those frustrating moments as I mentioned earlier with the rubber band AI, but then there are those magical moments where you drop because there's throughout some levels there's dump trucks being held up by helicopters, and you know, with the press of a button, once your meter's filled, that helicopter will drop that dump truck. And there is something about just racing ahead, you know, there's three guys ahead of you, you hit your button, you drop that a dump truck, it takes all three people out, you just narrowly, you know, fly by the dump truck, and then you dodge this other pole, and this other vehicle is exploding. And I mean, your palms are sweaty. So those moments, that's when those moments do happen. It's pretty awesome. You can't really get much better than that in terms of feeling of adrenaline, you know.
Well, with all those explosions and stuff, does it sort of feel like you're driving through like a Michael Bay movie, or?
It's pretty much what, yeah, you're driving through the latest Michael Bay film, and
Yeah.
actually the explosions look amazing, and they don't, you know, you can go through all the debris that doesn't really trouble you seeing. But the worst thing is when, if you do happen to hit someone and make them crash, the camera will pan over to them, and so you see their crash. Like, okay, I did that. You know, you take some pride in that. But then it's like there's a weird delay when the camera moves back to you. And there were many frustrating moments where I crashed, and
Ooh.
it's because like the camera wasn't on me, so I wasn't
Yeah.
able to see where I was going. And so once the camera finally gets back to me, smash, you know, I'm into a semi or I'm into a brick wall. So there's a couple little annoying quirks, but you know, I think it's well worth it if, you know, you handle those. And I think, I mean, the game ends with a to be continued. So obviously a sequel is in the works. And I think they'll really get it right. I think they'll work out all the kinks that they had with this first one. And so, yeah, I look forward to that. But yeah, that came out. Yeah, there was a lot of hype behind that. It came out earlier in the year with Blur. Which was Bizarre Creation and Activision's their racing. It was supposed to be like Mario Kart. Did you ever see the ads where it was making fun of Mario Kart?
I don't think I did actually.
Oh, you should look those up. Everyone should take. I mean, it was great marketing. I never really played that though. I'm not sure. I think they both sold decently well. Well, I guess not well enough because Activision X'd, or is looking to sell Bizarre Creations. But yeah, those were kind of the two major racing games that came out earlier in the year. But of the two, yes, yeah, split second. I would say any racing fan, it's definitely worth your time. What have you been playing recently?
Well, been playing a lot of Black Ops, those sort of
Black
released
Ops.
this month.
What is that? Never heard of that game.
Oh, God. It
How
steals your
it's
life.
so what are you playing, the multiplayer, the single player?
The multiplayer,
Okay,
just
obviously, as you know, everyone else is.
dead on multiplayer, just way too much of that.
Okay, and how is, I mean, is it we have different, of course, we all know all the drama that happened earlier in the year with Infinity Ward getting, you know, dismantled and the heads leaving Activision and whatnot. And so this isn't the team that made Modern Warfare 2. This is the team that made Call of Duty 3, Call of Duty World at War, Treyarch. So this is their first time with the modern current, or I guess it's not modern because it takes place during
Yeah,
Vietnam,
Cold
does it
War
not?
era. Yeah, it's Cold
Yeah, okay.
War.
Well, it's their first Call of Duty game out of World War II then. So how do they handle that?
I thought they did it pretty well. Like, there's some things that could be fixed. Obviously, there's been a lot of problems with servers and connection issues, but.
But that's kind of that doesn't that happen even, I mean, with Modern Warfare 2 at the beginning? Aren't there always kind of bugs, or are there more than usual?
I would say it's definitely a lot more than usual.
Okay.
I don't know. Hopefully they'll get that all sorted out though.
I would imagine so. So what kind of it's just slow, it's just buggy, or
I don't know, there's a lot of bugs in the game. People have like issues with actually connecting, like, or they'll just get kicked off randomly.
okay. But the multiplayer is essentially the same that we come to expect from Call of Duty titles.
Same sort of experience, a little tweaking here and there, different sort of like kill streaks, different ways to sort of get kill streaks. They sort of take it away, the kill streak, getting kill streak kind of thing. I think it adds to the game pretty well.
Okay. Will you ever go back to Modern Warfare 2, or are you set with Black Ops?
I was actually never a big fan of Modern Warfare 2. I would say Black Ops in my mind is definitely an improvement on that. And I'm gonna run with it.
Okay. All right, good. Have you played the single player at all?
I have not played that yet. I'm sort of a really bad person when it comes to that, where
Yeah.
I mean, like, if I want a story in a game, I'll play a different game, like, I don't know, like a RPG or just anything like that. Shooting
Yeah.
games, I'm more of just like, I don't really care what the story is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know in Modern Warfare 2 that I don't really know what was happening in that story, but I've heard good things about Black Ops because it takes place, yeah, during the Cold War, and there's like flashbacks and
I heard it connects to the World at War game, actually. Like, the storylines, they have,
Really?
like, a little bit of, like, a connection point. Like, there's people that are in both.
Wow. Well, that's actually very cool. Not that I remember anything from World of War, but the fact that they would go through that effort to do that is pretty cool. But I mean, I guess Treyarch is now the lead developer on that series. So, I mean, do you see any difference? Do you think it's that big of a deal then with Infinity Ward, with the main guys from that team gone? Do you see any problems in the foreseeable future with Call of Duty, or do you think it's all good with that franchise?
Well, this really isn't even in Treyarch's hands. Like, have you seen, like, I believe the next developer for the next game is a new
Yes, I don't
Sledgehammer?
Sledgehammer. Yeah, I believe it's
Yeah.
Sledgehammer. And rumors are that it's going to be a space one. But yeah, that's how they do it. They do 2-year cycles. So how it was before is Treyarch would do one, then it would be Infinity Ward, then Treyarch. So I guess they'll probably do that same thing where it's Treyarch and then I guess Sledgehammer. But apparently, Bobby Kotick was saying that Infinity Ward is still good to go. I mean, they're rebuilding. Obviously, they lost a lot of key team members, but they'll probably be up. I mean, because yeah, I mean, a development team isn't just two guys. So I mean, the loss of two guys, I'm sure it was a pretty big deal. But I mean, there's a large team there. I'm sure you get talented people in there. So
Exactly.
yeah. So I look forward to playing the single player, actually, to get my hands on that. But what speaking of driving or sorry, single player games and storylines. One that I'm enjoying right now, I'd say 3/4 of the way through, is Mafia 2, which it came out in August, late August, I believe. And a fair amount of hype was behind it. And then I don't know if it necessarily met. Reviews were, they weren't the greatest. I think it sold decently enough. Did you ever play the first Mafia?
I did not.
It came out right around the time I believe the GTA 3 came out, kind of changed everything. But I like it did something different. I mean, first of all, it was like in the 1940s or whatever, and the gunplay was a lot better. So anyway, the little bit that I played of Mafia 1, I thought, they have it's been how many years since then? This is going to be really awesome. And so I popped it in. I didn't have the highest expectations, actually. I thought, it'd be a fun little game to play through, and I was pretty impressed, actually.
That's good.
Except now, like, I mean, initially it kind of grabs you, and you're just kind of driving from point A to point B, but then suddenly you're put into World War II.
Interesting.
And that's something I didn't see happening, is you're playing World War II. So yeah, it's pretty focused on the story. So it's in most open world games, I find myself kind of getting sidetracked with side missions and whatnot. But this one, it's a little more linear as to what you're gonna do, so you don't get lost as much.
All right.
And it's just a really deep what they do. It feels really authentic. So it feels like it's in the 1940s. You got the music, and all of, like, the interiors. There's tons of detail in there, and something I really like. There's no loading. There's like a brief 1 second pause. It kind of fades in, fades out when you exit an interior to an exterior. But other than that, everything's smooth. It just kind of loads in between levels. So it just kept things kind of going. But after a long period of time with it, and again, the biggest problem that I have, even with GTA and just most open world games with vehicles, Just Cause I played earlier this year, is it just boils down to driving to point A to point B. You spend hours throughout the game just aimlessly driving from point A to point B. It's not a chase. It's not, you're driving this person here. You're driving. And I mean, I guess it elongates gameplay time. I mean, I guess they designed this huge world that they want you to be driving around in it, but it's just not fun.
You're not a big fan of the open world style,
No,
or?
I am, but I think there needs to be something new brought to it. I don't know. These worlds seem like they're getting too big. Like, that was one of my problems actually with GTA 4, is it's too big.
I've actually never touched GTA 4, but I mean, with like all the like variations of 3 and 3, I felt like it wasn't bad. Like, there was enough stuff like along the way. Like, if you got bored, you could run down some citizens or steal a different car, or I don't know.
Yeah, no, most certainly. I mean, I think my favorite GTA would probably be Vice City, because it was just two islands. I mean, it was big, but it was compact at the same time. You know, you were able to actually kind of learn your way around the city, and you knew, there was like a time I reached towards the end of that game where I didn't even need to reference my map anymore because I just knew where everything was. I mean, San Andreas really got big, but again, there was enough memorable stuff in there that you would kind of know your whereabouts and whatnot. And yeah, whether it be a dirt bike or whatever, there's variety in the driving. But with Mafia, you're stuck with these, all these vehicles that look pretty similar. They all handle pretty similar, and
Yeah.
I mean, there's no dirt bikes to ride, and so you're driving around, and initially it's like, oh, this driving's pretty good. But then, yeah, it just kind of gets old after a while, and then shooting mechanics are a little wonky. The worst part is there's this huge crosshair. It's first of all, it's a very cinematic game. I have to give it that. It very cinematic. It takes itself pretty seriously, and it pulls it off more or less. But then when I'm in these battles, after I drive from point A to point B, 10-minute drive, then it's time to shoot up these guys in this house, and there's this honking crosshair on my screen. It's half the size of my character.
Really?
And I'd rather have just like a little dot, or if I could just shrink this crosshair.
There's
But there's
like
no,
no customization or anything for
no, there's
that?
no option, and it's just this huge crosshair. And is it the same? No, I guess it slightly changes from a shotgun to a pistol and whatnot. But it, yeah, I don't, I feel like I can't be as accurate as I would be otherwise. I don't know if there's a reason for it. Maybe there's like a collision detection reason why they have to have it so big or something. Who knows? But I don't know. It just bugged me a lot. So I don't know. I'm gonna finish it up. But and it is a good game. But there's just. Yeah, with the open world, we got to do something to spice up getting from point A to point B, because you can't just do that throughout the whole game. Just have, I don't know, it needs more, a little bit more mission variety. But I mean, the characters I'm liking and the story I'm liking, and that's what's keeping me going at the moment in that one. But you were playing another sequel as well.
Yeah, I was playing No More Heroes 2 Desperate Struggle, which is actually the sequel to an open world game. The first one, it like a lot of the problems you were describing, like point A to point B being too boring, that's something that the prequel struggled with, and in this one they changed that. So you sort of just got a menu and you pick what place you want to go. It goes to a short loading screen and then you're there.
Yeah, you see, I like that. I lo that just makes more sense, 'cause yeah, I played No More Heroes 1, and yeah, you'd be on your motorbike, and it wasn't the most interesting world, and like it didn't really have any physics. So, I don't know, I felt like I was just kind of driving this cardboard box
Like,
around,
just
and
unneededly too.
yeah, exactly. Like, why do I need to do this? And so yeah, that was I pretty much just like just get me to the next boss and let me do my battle. But so you said they took out, so there's no, you're not doing any
Well,
traversing on in the sequel?
there is like a few points of traversing. Like, I don't know why they added this, but there is one. It is right before you fight one of the bosses. There's no actual level to this one where you have to fight through like any minions or anything. It's just sort of like a get on the motorbike and drive around on a street and plow through some signs and then you get there. And
Okay.
I didn't really understand that. And there was also a side view, like a side scroller kind of thing. I didn't really
Okay.
understand that point either, because you just sort of like run for a little while, get to an exclamation point, and then you enter like the main map.
Okay.
It was odd, but other than that, No More Heroes 2 is a great game, probably one of the best single player experiences on the Wii.
Okay.
Definitely recommend it to
So
anybody.
now does it have the same controls as the first one, where it's, I mean, it's you're just kind of, you're not swinging, like you're just pressing A to attack, right? But I remember like the only times that you would actually move your Wii remotes is when you're kind of doing grappling moves, and it would tell you, move it down, move it right. But other than that, it almost seemed like it could be fit up for a controller. Is that the same with the sequel?
Yeah, it's basically the same. Like, the only like functions with the Wiimote and nunchuck is like if you hold it up, you attack like the upper body or like a high
Oh, okay.
slash. If you like hold it down more, you'll do like low slashes. If you actually swing the Wiimote, you'll do like a powerful slash that sort of can like break people's guards.
Okay.
And then you can actually learn a move by making your cat lose weight that when you flick the nunchuck, you'll do like a spinning slash thing. It's a good thing to learn, especially when you're like trying to take out multiple enemies.
Is that just kind of clears everyone out type maneuver?
It doesn't really do enough damage to the point where you'll like get rid of people, but
Just kind of gets them off your back, right?
exactly when you're
Yeah.
surrounded by people, it's great to have.
Yeah, it's like it's the class. It's like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in Time when you press the two buttons together, and it takes a little bit away from your life, but you do your spinning attack and kind of frees you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so but so yeah, and the story, because I mean that it's done. Suda 51's the director of that. I mean, it's so it, is it just as kind of batshit crazy as the first one was as well?
It's yeah, basically
It's out there,
it's got
right?
the it's got the same charm as the first
Yeah,
game.
which is, I mean, it's fun. Like, we don't get enough of those kind of Japanese-centric games as much as we used to. Like, we used to get those a lot more kind of during the PlayStation 2
Yeah.
days. But, yeah, it's kind of rare to see this in this day and age. But it's cool that they keep that intact. And as you said, there's, like, that side-scrolling thing. So lots of little kind of 8-bit references throughout as well, right?
It's got more than that
Huh?
for actually 8-bit. Like, there's side jobs you can do to earn money. Those are all just like 8-bit mini games usually.
Case. Oh, that's awesome. Because the first one, mowing lawns, that wasn't fun. There was no
Ooh.
fun to be had by mowing lawns in
There's
that first.
I don't know. A lot of the games in this one are pretty frustrating, but I don't know. Some are pretty entertaining. A lot of them have their titles are a little bit of a sexual innuendo usually.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay,
That doesn't surprise me.
you can play Laying the Pipe.
Nice. Well, okay, what do you do in laying the pipe? What do you.
It's a game I've played before. I don't know what it is. It might just be some Flash game or some like old NES game that I've played before, but basically there's like it's all like it's divided up in on a grid and there's like different like pipes and you have to like connect the water from one end to the other end.
Okay,
By
yeah, and
playing like different like shaped pipes or like some are like curving, some are just like straight shot. You have to
yeah,
try and
no.
like connect the two together.
Okay, yeah, no, that, yeah, I can't remember the original game, but that's, I mean, that's the same thing with BioShock's, their little puzzle mechanic, was the same thing as that as well. You had a time limit, and you had to make the route for the water to go, with the proper pipes from one end to the other. Okay, cool. So you're gonna stick with it then?
Yeah, I'm actually almost done. Recently just picked it up again. So I should be finishing it pretty soon.
Okay, and then like are the bosses that hard? Because I got stuck in the first one. I got stuck with, I think it was like, was she a cat lady? There was this one female boss. I don't know if she was the ninth one. She's halfway through the game. I just got stuck on this one boss, and I just gave up. I was like, I've had enough wasting my time. I'm not gonna do this anymore.
I've done that before, but I actually did that for a very long time. But what I find is yeah, you can keep like retrying and retrying, and hopefully you'll just get a better strategy. But have you ever just like put down a game for like a month or two, come back to it, and attempted that boss that you were stuck on?
Yeah, and then you're just and then you
And
pass it
it's
with your full
ease,
life bar, and you're
and
just
it's
like,
just
what was the problem here? What?
exactly. No,
Yeah.
that's. I don't know. You can find some of that in this game. I actually did that like halfway through. But
No. So yeah, hey, maybe I'll go back to No More Heroes 1 and then try that boss. But I doubt that I'll do that. But No More Heroes 2, I do want to. I definitely do want to give that a go. So I'll probably do that over the holidays sometime. Here, because it's, I mean, so it released earlier in the spring, but you can probably pick it up for pretty cheap now, I'd imagine.
It's very cheap, especially used. I don't know, like maybe $20 at the most.
And you'd say there's a lot of game time there. How long do you think it's going to take you to when it's all said and done?
A little bit more than 12 hours. I don't know, not much. You can probably spend more time doing mini games and like upgrading things, your stats and everything.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's a short game. I'd say it's probably got some replay value. Like, it would be fun to go back and run through it again, maybe on like the really really hard mode.
Yeah. About 12 hours. That's a good lengthy campaign.
It's definitely enough.
Yeah, that's good. I've been playing lots of little other games here and there, but I'll save those for next week because I'm sure I'll be playing a lot more. So I guess let's what are you looking forward to just in the long haul, games that aren't out yet? I mean, I know we have so many games with our hands now, but I mean, we always still have to kind of be looking forward, looking ahead as to what else is coming out. What in the near future here on the calendar, what's piquing your interest?
Well, the thing that piques my interest the most is actually a downloadable content to a game, which is Grublins on Ice, which is an extension of Costume Quest, which was released earlier this October.
The Double Fine game from Tim Schafer's development house. And so I guess give us a little backstory. So Costume Quest came out right around Halloween, and it's kind of a Halloween centric game, correct?
Yeah, it's very Halloween centric. You're actually out on Halloween trick or treating.
See, has a game ever done that before? Because I mean, that's just a super unique concept in itself. Just a game that takes place during Halloween trick or treating. Like, I can't think of a game ever doing that.
Nothing really comes to mind.
Yeah, so I mean, that just sounds cool. But and so you've played through Costume Quest then?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and so it's a turn-based RPG, correct?
Yeah, it's just simple turn-based. It's very easy. They also have a thing where like to do like critical hit attacks, you have to like hit X at the right time or
move the L stick. All right, around. So it's like the Mario RPG series in that sense, combat, because it's got that. Okay, see, I like that. Yeah, better than I enjoy doing that more, where it's got like the time sensitive stuff.
Yeah, it's got a lot of interaction during the battles. It keeps you interested. You can't just like look away for a little while, start playing like games on your computer or go on Facebook. You have to like be staring at the screen, be like, all right, let's do this. Otherwise, you die.
Nice. And then the game as a whole, in between the combat, you're just kind of exploring. So it's kind of like a JRPG then, to a certain degree.
It's a lot like that. Sort of, you're exploring a lot. You're always on like little mini side quests, sort of. Like you have to find things or talk to people.
And it's got, I mean, obviously with Tim Schafer and Double Fine behind it, it's got, you know, it's really charming.
It's definitely funny. very charming. It's got beautiful dialogue. It's extremely funny.
That's actually the one I plan on playing over the holidays here. But so what is this downloadable content that's coming out then? It's just kind of new characters?
Grublins on Ice is an extension to the game. It's got just like a little bit of a story for like after it. It's supposed to take like pretty soon after the events of Costume Quest. If I remember it correctly, it's all the same people. A member of your party gets kidnapped, and you have to go after them. And I don't think it has any new characters, or I don't know. It might, but they may have not released that it does. But it does offer new costume patterns that you can get.
Okay, and the costumes play a pretty big role in the combat, right?
What you basically do is, like, as you're playing the game, you get items and costume patterns, and when you have the pattern and all the items, it makes a new costume, which is, like, key for getting through the game. Like, some costumes, like, you actually need to advance. Like, there's a Lady Liberty costume, and you need to use its ability at points.
To do Lady Liberty stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And so the downloadable content, is it like a sequel, or it's just kind of more adventure? Does it take place in Halloween as well? Or
I would say it's almost like a sequel, almost like a side story It's like a sequel side story, I guess I would say. It happens. It's more of a Christmas theme, though.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what I was gonna say. So, but you're playing these kind of so you're still in your Halloween costumes, but it's like Christmas time.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Interesting. That's, well, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure that they'll pull that off again. And they actually Double Fine announced another game this week, which we'll get to in the news. But looking forward to that as well. But sorry, when does Grubbins on Ice come out?
I don't believe they have a release date for it, actually, but it will be out at some point in December.
It will be this year, then?
Yeah, for the holidays.
December. Okay. All right. Well, I look forward to playing Costume Quest, and then hopefully I look forward to playing Grubbins on Ice. The game that I'm getting a little hyped for, this week I saw for the first time Tron, the original 1982 film Tron, and I've been seeing, you know, I think everybody's seen the trailers for the new one, Tron mm-hmm. Legacy. They've been marketing the crap out of that.
Oh yeah, they have.
And so I mean, I was already excited for that movie, but now I've seen the original, and it's cool. It's really cool. I mean, obviously the special effects are pretty
lame.
It's interesting. Yeah, they're
a little outdated,
different.
Maybe.
Yeah, a little outdated. I think is yeah. That's a word you could use to describe them. But it's a very cool concept. And now today's technology, yeah, I'm even more excited for the new film and really excited for the game, because here you have this movie about being a video game. So I hope they pull it off. Disney's behind it, obviously. The combat or the gameplay that I've seen, it looks like there's like kind of Prince of Persia style platforming, except a little more futuristic. You have the light cycle battles. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
It looked like they had like a pretty good variety of like what you can actually do. It's like they have the light cycles. They have like a ton of other little sort of games that you can sort of play.
Yeah, you're fighting, because I mean, I guess yeah, there's a bunch of different games in the Tron universe that you play. So they all look. I mean, it looks like there's the variety there. I just hope that they there's quality with each, you know, part of the game, whether it be the racing sections or the platforming sections or the action. So, I mean, it is a movie licensed game, so you always have to kind of approach with caution. Mm-hmm. But just from what I've seen, it just looks fun. I want to get my hands on it. So that I believe that drops probably around when the movie hits in December 17th. So definitely one to look forward to, and we'll see how that one turns out. But that's what we've been playing, what we're looking forward to. I guess we'll hop into news. Slow week in news. I guess with the Thanksgiving holidays. I mean, tons of Black Friday deals, obviously. But I don't know if that's necessarily news. But the major news that I looked at here was, as I said earlier, Double Fine announced their latest downloadable title for the Xbox. Live Arcade and PlayStation Network, and it is called Stacking. And in it, you play as Russian dolls with powers. Have you seen the trailer?
Yeah, I looked at it this week. It seems interesting.
It looks nutty. Just the visual style alone. It looks kind of like, it's almost like stop motion claymation, like Wallace and Gromit.
It does have a good style. Like it's definitely a, if you like a good style to your game, like artistic creativity, this is definitely something to look at.
Yeah, I've never seen, like, it just looks cool. So it catches you off guard kind of in a good way in that sense. And then the actual gameplay, so the Russian dolls, anyone who's not familiar with it, it's those dolls where it's a doll within a doll within a doll within a doll. There's, you know, there's the big doll, you open it, you know, it's in halves, you open that, and there's another doll in that, and then you open that, and there's another doll within that, and so on and so forth. And so I guess you play as like a really little doll, and then you can hop in all these other different dolls, because there's like a security guard doll that I saw from the trailer that you hop in. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it looks like there's kind of stealth elements to it, and it, you know, you're solving puzzles, and it just like as kind of we mentioned, as you said, with Costume Quest, I mean, again, something that's never been done before, you know, it's Halloween, you're trick-or-treating, and now here we are playing Russian dolls. I don't know, that with these downloadable titles, I think Double Fine's really kind of, I think that fits the studio well, is these tight little bite-sized kind of games.
I like what they've been doing recently.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I was a fan of Brutal Legend, you know, but there were parts, you know, there's parts of that game that I didn't like. I mean, obviously, like, the charms and, you know, the story and whatnot, but, yeah, maybe a little too long, again, with the open world thing, driving A to B. But, yeah, I think they really found their little niche here with these little games. So I look forward to that. I don't believe that they've set a date for that.
Yeah. No, I don't believe they have yet.
I think so, but definitely one to keep an eye on. Also, there's a recent poll this week. The analyst group Cowen and Company conducted a survey trying to find out what exactly motivates individuals. You know, are gamers buying new or used copies? In the last couple of years, producers have been furious over the used game sale market because the publishers don't make any money off a used game.
Well, EA is trying to like put a stop to that in their own little way, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they're all trying to, whether it be incentives. Well, I mean, there's the one way where it's just like GameSpot, you know, there's this attack at GameSpot. You shouldn't be able to do this, but they've since tried to kind of create incentive for the user to, for the gamer to buy new as compared to used.
It's not just that. Like, it's EA likes, like, if you buy it used, I believe you have to pay like $10 or $15 to play it online.
Yes, they have these, that I believe, does Activision do that? They're trying a couple of different things where there's content on there. Yeah, there's Game Pass, I think is what the EA thing is called. And, yeah, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
Well, I'm definitely not a fan.
Yeah, that I think, I don't know, that's one of the nice things about, I mean, again, it's such an expensive hobby. It's nice to be able to, you know, buy a $70 game, you know, finish it, trade it in, get $30, and then, you know, put it towards
the next,
you know, getting a new game. Exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. But so everybody's, you know, afraid that, you know, the used game market is, you know, killing the industry, et cetera, et cetera. Well, this, the survey that was conducted says that 70% of the respondents claimed that they will buy a new game over a used one. So that, I don't know, that's a pretty big percentage, 70% buying new over used. And so the number one reason why they were doing that is if you're going to play the game for a long time, which is, I mean, that's my mentality behind it as well, is if there's a game, whether it's going to be, you know, multiplayer driven, a la Call of Duty, Halo, you know, I'm going to buy that game brand new because I'm going to have it for a long period of time. Whereas used games, I'll buy a used game for $30 or whatever and just quickly finish it and then just pump it back into the used system.
I actually, I don't know, I like the idea of used games a lot. Like, I buy a good deal of my games used. No More Heroes 2 is actually one of them that I did pick up as a used copy.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it offers, like, I don't know, it opens the audience up, I think. Like, more people are going to be able to have access to your game and see what you've created. Then, there's those options to buy those cheaper games. And, you know, some people can't afford to pay $70 for games. So that's why, I don't know, it's nice to have that option. But and it's also nice to know that it's not like people aren't buying new games. So there's plenty.
People are definitely buying new games. Like, so, just like, I don't know. Like when a game launches, there's millions and millions of people buying it. Like if it's a great title, like a new Call of Duty or a new Halo, new Mario, something like that.
Yeah, most certainly. So, it's just good, I guess, good reassurance maybe for the publishers to know that, you know what, they're still buying the new games. And, you know, if you create a really good quality game that's going to, you know, last the player a while, then it's more likely that they will be buying that new. So I guess incentive to make quality titles that give quality gameplay for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Call of Duty, so their multiplayer, people were concerned over the last couple of months. Bobby Kotick has kind of been hinting at the possibility of introducing a subscription model for Call of Duty's multiplayer. So whether it's a monthly fee or a yearly fee, or maybe it's just a one-time fee, you know, to have to get online and be able to play multiplayer. So people pretty much, I mean, obviously put up a fight, but, you know, it's currently Activision kind of holds the evil crown, and it was almost accepted by gamers. Like, all right, well, you know, they're going to milk us and we're going to pay for it. But thank God that is not going to happen, because publishing CEO Eric Hirschberg told Industry Games that they will never be charging for multiplayer. So a bit of a sigh of relief there that they won't be doing that. What about you? Would you pay for online multiplayer?
For Call of Duty, no.
No. So you, no. That would just be the end of you playing Call of Duty online.
Find a new game.
Yeah. Halo doesn't charge it. And just it'd be interesting, like, how, I mean, yeah, how would they do that? Would it be a monthly fee? I wonder how they would go about doing that.
Yeah, that'd be. I could kind of see them doing a monthly sort of thing.
Yeah, but I mean, how much would that be? I don't know. I think they would lose a lot of their audience. Or maybe they wouldn't. I mean, again, you look at WoW, and I'm sure that's kind of what they look at, is here's this game that they're getting all raking in a ridiculous amount of money from on a monthly basis. And then they look at Call of Duty and they're like, how can we do it with this franchise? You know, how can we do that? So I'm sure they're still looking into it, but it's good to know for the time being that that Eric Hirschberg has said no, they will not be charging for it. So yeah, that is good. So the next part of news, Mark Wahlberg will play Nathan Drake in the Uncharted film adaptation. So yeah, the news broke earlier this week. David O. Russell will be directing. So he's directed Three Kings, I, Art Huckabee's, and The Fighter, which with Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale, which comes out in December. I think it's out now, just in a few select cities. But yeah, so Wahlberg and the writer-director David O. Russell have worked together with three films before, Three Kings, I, Art Huckabee's, and The Fighter. And Wahlberg actually has already been in a movie adaptation before. Do you remember, can you remember which one?
Yeah, Max Payne.
Max Payne.
Of course, I've seen it. I own it.
Do you own it? And yeah. So you're a fan of Max Payne then?
It was all right.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the game, and I was just, you know, the movie, I was just like, this can't, like, it can't be bad. You know, just copy and paste the game's story, you know, yeah. And at least it'll be kind of campy and fun. Like, so how do you mess it up? And they found a way, obviously. They always do.
It's obviously, it's a little bit better than other video game movies. Like, there are some really, really awful video game movies.
Yeah, well, yeah, without a doubt. But, I mean, those normally, like, they have to either deal with, like, a fantasy world or something, you know. They have that, you know, whether it be Super Mario Bros., or whatever else, you know, yeah. Even Prince of Persia. But Max Payne is just a dude with guns. So it's just an action movie. Like, just make an okay action movie. And they weren't able to do that. But my opinion anyways. But I guess
Super Mario Bros. I got to bring this up. I saw the live action Super Mario Bros. Movie in the bargain bin trailer at Walmart while shopping on Black Friday.
Yeah, how much was that going for?
It had to have been less than $5. I'm not really sure. Probably like $3 or $5.
Yeah, that, yeah, probably the least said about that, the better.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Never so tempted to pick up a movie I knew was going to be bad.
Yeah, no, that's why it's been a while since I'd like to revisit it. Just, for Dennis Hopper's Koopa. Just for that reason alone, I think it might be worth taking a peek. But yeah, with also the cool thing about Uncharted, well, I mean, first of all, David O. Russell is a respected filmmaker, so that's good. And it's rumored that Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci are in talks to be in the film as well as Nathan Drake's father and uncle.
Interesting.
That is, it's interesting. I mean, these are big names, so this could be. I mean, it has the makings to be, one of the bigger video game films. So, I
Well, I
mean,
mean, people have
Prince of.
already compared the sort of game to being like, it's like you're playing a movie.
Yeah, it's very cinematic, exactly. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see. Just keep an eye on this project.
Fingers
I have
crossed.
a. I'm more optimistic than I have been past video game film adaptations.
I'm excited to see what they can do with it.
We'll see. We'll see. Especially, yeah, if they get De Niro and Pesci on board. All right, so that was news for the week. So now we'll go to a new segment here. Pretty much during the holidays here, and just as we were talking about earlier, we can't always buy brand new games. Games are $70. There are so many good game AAA titles out there right now. What one do you pick? You gotta wait. Sometimes you can't have it when everybody else is having it, and so that's why the purpose of this segment is cheap games. What's a cheap kind of older game that still holds up? And if you're kind of your bank account's not looking too good right now, but you still want a game, what are your options? And I got a deal for you this week right now on Xbox Live Arcade. It's part of their Black Friday sales. You can get Portal, still alive, for 400 Microsoft Space Bucks. So that it's regular 1,200 points, so it's 400. So I think it's 63% off or whatever.
Good
But
deal.
I just picked it up yesterday. I played Portal originally on the Orange Box, and I traded in my Orange Box a long time ago, and I've wanted to play Portal since. And so this is a perfect opportunity to do so. And also, Portal 2 is right around the corner, April, I believe it just got delayed too. So pick it up now for $400. It's
400
such
points.
a
Ooh.
400 points.
I don't
Yeah,
know if I
400
want to
points.
pay 400 bucks for.
I don't. Oh, but it
Portal is a
is
good game, don't get me
good.
wrong, but when we're
400
starting to
bucks.
talk about $400.
Yeah. True enough. But and I think there's even like a. Aren't there a couple extra things in the Xbox Live version? And they think they might have thrown in a couple kind of standalone puzzles. So I don't think it's a direct port. I think they got a couple other extra things in there. I'm not sure. I'll most certainly let you know if there are, because I can't wait to dive in and play that. And yeah, it's not going to break the bank, so it's good. And you were saying, so I mean, for example, No More Heroes. You grab that for pretty cheap.
Oh yeah, that's definitely very cheap if you just go to your GameStop, local GameStop, pick it up used, new. Either way, it won't be too much.
And then there's also what was the other Wii title?
Mad World.
Mad World. Yes, I saw that at my electronics boutique for $15 the other day. So that is a cheap one, and that is a great game. And I mean, also with Black Friday right now, even new releases you can actually get for almost half price.
Oh yeah, I saw actually Medal of Honor was on sale for like $35 new.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know if that is that a sign of the quality of the game or what, but
I'm not really sure. I haven't actually been able to play it since the original beta they had out.
okay. And how was that?
It had a lot of problems.
It wasn't Call of Duty, was it?
No, it
Because
was
no.
definitely not. I don't know. I'm a big fan of the older Medal of Honor titles. I'd really like to see them sort of go back into that
Yeah, do their
sort
own
of
thing. I mean,
feeling.
yeah, the very first Medal of Honor, I loved it. Was
Oh,
yeah, that was a very special game.
that's classic. You can run
Yeah.
around as a raptor as your character.
I don't remember doing that.
Well, I think you might have to put in some sort of like cheat code or something, but it's
Okay.
something they included with the game. But it's a man, seeing a raptor pop up with a bazooka is just frightening.
Wow. Yeah, I would imagine so.
It's got a
That
lot
would.
of charm.
Yeah, I wonder. I doubt that that's in this new version though, unfortunately. But
Yeah.
maybe they should. Maybe for the sequel. Yeah, if you're listening, Raptors.
Raptors
That's
and bazookas, lots of
Raptors and
fun.
bazookas, that's what they want. Medal of Honor, actually, I have that coming through my game access next week, so I look forward to getting my hands on it and giving it a run through, and yeah, see how that goes. But yeah, will do. So speaking of Medal of Honor, that brings us to segment four with this holiday season and just all these games coming out. We're pretty much over the. We've gotten through the brunt of the major releases. Halo's dropped, Call of Duty. I mean, all the main games have kind of dropped. So it's been they've been out for a little while, a couple weeks here, and so I thought that we would look at those, take a peek, and kind of see where everything is. So, for example, Medal of Honor, that launched, I believe, in October. There to this date, it's sold 1.6 million copies. And it's got a Metacritic aggregate score of 74.
Pretty good. It's
pretty good. I mean, I don't think EA's even admitted that it's not that they. It's not. It's interesting. I don't know. Publishers nowadays. They got. I don't know if it's balls. I don't know what you want to call it that they got. But so they pretty much said, yeah, they knew it wasn't going to be that, you know, a perfect game.
Yeah.
When they released it, so. So yeah, so it had kind of middling to so reviews. But I mean, it sold at 1.6. Again, it's a franchise reboot. I don't think that they expected to knock out Call of Duty with their first iteration. So I'm sure they've learned a lot from this title, and they'll probably be putting it towards Medal of Honor 2. Whether that comes, I don't know if they're going to do the same thing where it's, you know, a new game every year, or if they're going to take 2 years to develop it and tune it, but I don't know. 1.6 million out of the gate. I'm not bad. They'll probably finish with 2 million or whatever. That's probably kind of what they expected to do, roughly. So I mean, I don't think you can really fault it on that. In terms of the actual game, how good it is. I mean, I don't think you'd probably be able to find anybody who says that, you know, Medal of Honor is better than Call of Duty. So I mean, So between the two of them, I think you're going to have to go with Black Ops. Because Black Ops has a Metacritic aggregate of 88. So that's a
very good score.
Very good. Again, people were skeptical with Treyarch behind it. And, you know, it's not going to be as good as, you know, the Infinity Ward games. It's not going to sell as good. Well, it kind of sold a lot better. Not a lot better, but it broke the previous record that Modern Warfare previously held, which is I guess the week one sales or whatever. It beat it by a fair amount, and actually at this point in time it's already standing at 5.87 million units sold. And this is just domestically in the States, North America here. So yeah, 5.87 million. It's been out what, a month, if that?
I think a little bit less, actually.
A little bit less, not even a month, and we have that. So it doesn't look like Call of Duty's losing any steam, and even with the head guys at Infinity Ward, it looks like it doesn't really matter that much. Pretty much that the name, as long as they keep pumping out quality with that name attached to it, I don't think they have to worry who's behind it. Now, kind of Black Ops' main competitor, Halo Reach, that had a bit of a higher Metacritic aggregate score of 91 than Black Ops, but still a little less with 4.65 million. But what you have to remember is Halo Reach is just on the 360.
Very true.
Black Ops, that 5.87 million, that covers the PS3, the Xbox, the PC, and even the DS version. So can't forget the Wii version. But so, I mean, 4.65 million Halo. I think that's amazing.
That's very
to sell that much in this short period of time on the one system. And so this, I mean, it was Bungie's last game. It was their swan. I mean, essentially, it was Halo 4. It's called Halo Reach, but it might as well be called Halo 4. And it's it'll be
prequel.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see, I guess, what kind of Microsoft does, because Bungie has now left the Halo franchise, and they've joined forces with Activision. So Activision now has Call of Duty and the creators of Bungie. So that's a little dangerous. But Microsoft still holds the Halo name. They've been putting together a team for the last couple of years because they knew that this the Bungie would be leaving eventually. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with the next Halo game. I mean, as much as I love Halo Reach, I feel like there could be some new stuff pumped into it.
Yeah, I think that, well, I mean, they were sort of like limited just to Halo. I'd really like to see what they can do now that they can sort of explore their whole creative realm, do whatever they want.
Yes, yeah. But I mean,
whole new games.
Maybe it's not even a first-person shooter.
Yeah, maybe we're gonna see like a ping pong game.
Ping pong game.
Or go the Rockstar route.
Or maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll see them start copying Double Fine. There, we'll see a rival Halloween game.
Ooh.
That could be something developed by Bungie. That could be fun. I mean, needless to say, I think all these games are pretty much, you know, meeting the hype, if not exceeding, to a certain degree. So I mean,
definitely doing well.
Yeah. One of the surprises of this season was actually NBA 2K11, which the last MPDs that were released was over number one. And so it has sold 1.31 million, and with a Metacritic aggregate of 89. And
seems really high for a sports game.
They're saying it's, you know, the best basketball game ever made. And the big thing with this one was that it had Michael Jordan in it. And I think that probably did help with sales, having him on the cover there and whatnot. But and also, I'm sure why it sold so well is it didn't have any competition, because you have NBA Elite with EA, which was EA's reboot of the NBA Live franchise, was canceled.
Really?
Last second. Yeah. They released the demo, and it had all new controls. You do everything with the analog sticks. The demo hit, and it was just a buggy mess. And they took the demo down. I didn't get my hands on it, unfortunately. Oh. They took the, but you can check online, and it is wacky. It's just one word to describe it. What goes on screen during that demo. But so that mean they canceled that game. It's good on their part. Again, EA said, you know what, this was going to be a crap game, so we canned it. And so that gives them a full another year to prep for the relaunch of that license. But I'm sure that definitely has to do with a little bit, anyways, of NBA 2K's huge success this season. Two more other titles, big ones of the fall. Fable 3. Fable 2 was a huge surprise hit when it hit when it came in 2008. Tons of copies sold. Critically praised. This third one, it's sold 1.14 million so far, but the reviews haven't been quite as kind to it. It's got an 80 Metacritic aggregate at this point in time, and you know, they're saying it's just not quite as good as Fable 2. Did you play Fable 2 at all?
I was not able to, but I've heard a lot of mixed reviews on Fable 3. Like, I've heard people like, oh, this is definitely a good game. I like a lot of the new stuff they added. It's worth picking up. I've heard some things like, it's a lot like Fable 2, but worse, and I don't know.
That's never a good thing when it's like, yeah, it's like the previous game, but worse. Like, that is never good to hear. I was a big fan of Fable 2. I really enjoyed it. So I'll be definitely picking up Fable 3 soon enough here, but the thing with Fable 3 is, I mean, the first half, I think, is very Fable 2-ish, and then the second half of the game, you become a king, and apparently things get very political, and you have to rule as a king. And as cool as that sounds, I guess they just didn't quite, Lionhead Studios didn't quite pull it off, I guess, which is kind of something that Peter Molyneux and crew are known for, is, you know, high ambitions and not quite pulling it off. So anyway, I will try it out soon enough, though, and I'll let you know how that goes. But still, I mean, it's selling well enough. I'm sure we will see a Fable 4 down the line. Probably it'll have some connect in there as well, I would imagine. And then last but not least, of course, Fallout New Vegas. So Fallout 3 was huge. Did you play Fallout 3?
No.
Yeah, I've played Fallout 3. I'm 80 hours into it, and I haven't even found my dad, which is like the first thing that you do in the main storyline in the game is you have to find your father, who's played by Liam Neeson, And I've just been off doing everything, just so many side quests. And that's the thing about those games is you just get, yeah, you die. It's almost hard to stick to that main storyline because there's so many other cool things to do.
A lot of hours you've put into that.
Lots of hours. I want to finish it. I want to just kind of ignore all of the side quests. It's kind of an ongoing thing with Fallout 3. I just kind of pick it up, go in spurts. Yeah, I do want to finish Fallout 3. I don't know if I'm going to pick up New Vegas, though. Selling great. 1.71 million between the PC, 360, and Xbox versions. And the Metacritic isn't quite up there as high as Fallout 3. It's at an 83. And kind of similar, I guess, to Fable in a way. Whereas, you know, it's a lot like Fable 3. It's all like the previous game, but, you know, kind of worse.
Mm.
So I've been hearing a lot of that. I've been hearing that they fix, like, there's some things that are better, there's some things that are worse. So again, it's done by a different developer. It's done by Obsidian Entertainment, who actually have some members from the original Fallout 1 and Fallout 2 games. So some people on the team that actually developed those first two titles. Yeah, because I guess Bethesda, they're out, they're off developing the new Oblivion game, so they kind of help. You know, gave the reins over to Obsidian for this one. Pretty much, though, if you do the consensus that I hear is if you like Fallout 3, you're going to like New Vegas.
Hmm.
But I do hear that it is extremely buggy.
Ooh.
Which, again, seems to be a trait.
Game-breaking buggy, or?
Yeah. I saw this one game-breaking bug. Pretty much, the guy's on, like, the very last... He's about to do the last mission of the game. I'm sure he's put in a sickeningly amount of hours. And, he bought this gun, this certain gun or this certain attachment for his gun, and pretty much his character can't move and do anything anymore.
Ooh.
So he attached this attachment to his gun, which I believe that was the case, and so out in the menu, so he exits the menu, and his character is just frozen. And he can't.
I did hear about bugs for this game, actually. Like, yeah, it's starting to ring a bell.
And so, I don't know. That's the big one that I've seen. I think you could look it up on YouTube. I think it's titled Worst Bug Game Glitch Ever. But yeah, so God, I don't know. Like, see, when approaching a game, like, I'm sure they'll patch it. I'm sure they have been patching it. But you approach games like that to invest something like 80 hours and then for the game to freeze or to do something that I couldn't progress, I haven't ever had it happen to me, but if it did, I don't know. I don't know what I'd do.
When something like that happens, you gotta wonder, like, come on, how did they not catch this during, like, testing and betas and...
Yeah, well, I mean, the Fallout games are already, a little buggy, but that's almost kind of... I don't know if it's the appeal, but I mean, it's a little jerky and you can kind of take advantage of it. But with this, yeah, it seems like it's, you know, the usual bugginess and then some, you know, an extra helping of bugginess and glitches. So I don't know. But for the true Fallout fan, I'm sure it's just something you've accepted and you'll have a great time. But pretty much everything's delivering. I can't think of any exact flops of the season so far. Tony Hawk, the latest Tony Hawk game, that I think that sold 30,000 units. Yeah.
They're still making those?
They're still, well, they're making them with the skateboard peripheral. So it's the skateboard that you stand on. It's, I think, Tony Hawk Shred, I think is what it's called. But yeah, I don't think... we'll see if we see another Tony Hawk next year. And then Guitar Hero didn't sell as well. I don't think Rock Band did either, or DJ Hero. So the music game genre, not exactly as hot as it once was. But shooting people, that is as hot as it ever was. So
everybody loves to shoot people.
Everybody loves to shoot people. Yeah. So that's what things are looking. So yes, it looks like the holiday 2010 games are delivering, which is always good to hear. So that's pretty much it for our show. Thank you very much for listening. Again, you can subscribe to us via iTunes. We are the D-Pad. What are we called? We're D-Pad News Radio. And that's the name, and we're sticking to it this time. We're not going to change it anymore. D-Pad News
Radio.
Knock on wood, yes. And then you can subscribe to us via iTunes at http://thedpad.podomatic.com. Sorry, that's not our iTunes subscribe. You type, go to iTunes, type in D-Pad News. You'll find us.
Right in the search bar. Go to the podcast. It's great.
There you go. There you go. And that's us for this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meantime, keep your thumbs busy. This is Isaac and myself signing off.